didn't own any books. Period. The average person couldn't read. The literacy rate was like 1%. All right? Literally, I'm not kidding. Gutenberg changed that by a huge amount. The average book before Gutenberg cost as much as the average family farm that could feed and house the whole family for generation after generation after generation. That was the price of a book. You had to hire one of the elite readers and writers, a scribe or a stationery or a monk or whatever, and pay them a whole year's salary to get something that looks like, where'd my Gutenberg, here it is, that looks like this. Now, before you actually storm me to steal this, this is a reproduction. But even though it's a reproduction, it would cost over $1 million to make a King James Bible like this. This is made exactly the same way that Gutenberg made it. It's got all the stuff on it. And you know how thick, how many pages. And this, of course, doesn't have nearly as many words as your Bible has. So it's a bunch of work. However, the Gutenberg press was the very first mass production machine in the world. Gutenberg and his two guys, who just handed him the paper and stacked it up, could make more of these in one day than a whole monastery could turn out in a year. It just blew everybody's mind. Now, you guys, anybody here want to hear about copyright? I hate talking about copyright.
I'd like to
hear about it. Oh, you do? All right. We will. Remind me when we got 5 or 10 minutes to go, and I will blow the whole thing. I just hate it. Okay. Well, one of my favorite sayings, you should have this one too. Another favorite, Victor Hugo. Can't beat Victor Hugo. Now, we could argue all the time about defining what an e-book is, but I don't think anybody cares anymore, so we'll skip over that. And who can make everybody? You guys can all make e-books.
Mention the mobiles, though, Michael. Mobiles are important.
Oh, I will.
Yeah,
I will.
Okay. All right.
Somewhere in there is a slide that says, by about now, there are 5 million.
Billion,
sorry. Active
That's
cell phones.
That's what I'm here for, guys. I do the math.
5 billion active cell phones. And, of course, at this day and age, they almost all do text and other stuff like that. And you don't need anything other than plain text to do the stuff that I just threw out there. And like I said, don't worry, I got plenty more of these. And you can download the whole ISO. I urge you to make copies, give them to your friends, one book at a time, all of them at a time, who cares? As long as you don't charge money for them, you're okay. All right. Right now, July 4th, started the 40th year of ebooks. And every 4th of July, I scrounge up every ebook I can find from everybody in the world who will let me have it for 1 month, and I put it up at this site called worldebookfair.org. And right now, I have over 3.75 million books up there. And you can have them as fast as you can download them. Just click on them. There's all sorts of portals at the very top for a bunch of other places. There's all those PDFs I mentioned. There's 3.25 million other PDFs. There's the archive.org collection. There's a music collection that's unbelievable, 60,000 musical scores. There's 400,000 new books, new, written in the last couple of years from Wattpad. Yes?
How do you handle bandwidth costs? Is there any sort of BitTorrent distribution thing?
We do BitTorrent.
We're repeating the questions, handling bandwidth and BitTorrent.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah, so we do BitTorrent for the ISOs. We have all the different networks and stuff like that. And although our sites actually can handle direct downloads of ISOs as well, what we do is our major distribution partner is iBiblio down in North Carolina, and they got really pretty good bandwidth. And we also work a lot with the Internet Archive. They got really pretty good bandwidth. So we've made some strong partnerships. And the one thing that's nice about us, we don't have a lot in the finances here, but since Gutenberg gives everything away, we find that people are willing to help us out in many ways. So we do have the torrents. We don't bother with torrents for individual books because they're usually no more than a few meg. And so what we do with those is we have mirrors. If you go to Gutenberg.org, there's a list of mirrors. We have them on almost every continent. We used to have one in Antarctica. We don't. We used to have one in outer space, a copy in outer space.
We still do.
Oh, do we? But yeah. It's not a mirror.
Galaxy 5 or something like that, if you're into that stuff.
But we have a worldwide mirror collection, and anyone's welcome to set up a mirror. But so it's a good question, but it turns out not to be that much of a challenge. We have a lot of good folks who help us out.
How
You can do it for about 600 gig right now, but we're growing at maybe 10% a year. So plan on a terabyte over the next couple of years. It's not that bad. You know, text, even with a lot of images, we do, these days, of course, everything's HTML with images. We have some high-quality stuff. We have some audio books. Even so, it's not, you know, we tend not to end up with too many huge files. In fact, these ISOs that we give away are, you know, 4 and 8 gig, and those are by far the biggest files that we have.
If you go to World eBook Fair, we put up a couple of clickers at the very top, so you can download all of our greatest hits, one click, and then get all the Alice in Wonderland stuff, all the Sherlock Holmes stuff. Those are right at the top right now because of the movies that just came out.
You know, I should mention, Michael, for the question that was just asked about mirroring and stuff, the World eBook Fair is essentially a portal. So the worldebookfair.org site has some of the stuff on that server, but it mostly points out to everyone else's server. So we don't have a central collection for those 3.75 million. What we have is a central collection for the main Project Gutenberg, which is, 34,000 titles right now, just to be clear.
Okay. We can skip over all this stuff. Email me and I'll send you all of these URLs and I'll give you sneaky passwords if you want to get in the back door. Okay. This stuff, I talked about the cost of keeping a whole library in your pocket and stuff like that. I'm sure somebody in here got one of the IBM memory keys. Did anybody get one of those 8 meg IBM memory keys back in 2000? I still want to get one of those. I'll pay for it. Nobody got one. Early adopters, we were not. Okay. But those things were $50 or $60. And, of course, you can go to Walmart right now, and for $20 you can get a 16 gig, and for $40 you can get, or sorry, for $20 you can get an 8 gig, and for $40 you can get a 16 gig. And it just keeps going. Like I said, I got this 64 gigger for $100 a couple of years ago. Something's wrong with the price there, though. I think it was supposed to be 100 pounds, and they made a mistake. But because the price still looks wrong from my point of view. But the fact is, you can carry all this stuff around your neck, every book you ever wanted. So we're going to get to terabytes of this stuff, no doubt. Oh, do we want to talk about you wanted to talk about copyright.
Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't mind if people would help me with this copyright business. So I'm going to say, our last copyright law got passed in 1998, known vociferously as the Sonny Bono Mickey Mouse copyright law. And they make it really simple, and they do it with a smokescreen. They just say, we're going to change one word, and that one word is the number of years. No, we're not changing the law at all. We're just changing one word. And they do it with a voice vote behind closed doors. And this last one, they did it in the same 24 hours as they impeached President Clinton.
1998.
So I was supposed to go testify. And I didn't even find out that all this stuff happened until weeks. Oh, it's already been done. Okay? I would like to create some kind of movement to publicize the fact that they're going to do this again, because we are now 5/8 of the way done with the period of that extension. That's all 12 and a half years ago, right? And these things are 20 years. So they're going to have to start introducing new copyright bills 5 years from now.
Let's give the details briefly, because it's 2019 is going to be the end of the 20-year extension that happened in 1998. And what that means, if that happens, is that, and many of you weren't even born then, which is the amazing thing, is that the public domain will start to grow again. In 1999, suddenly, we weren't getting a new year that entered the public domain. Exited copyright entered the public domain every year, as we had been. So we had scheduled stuff from 1922, 1923, 1924 that we were going to release, and we stopped after 1922 because of this extension. 2019, just a few years away, we're firmly anticipating another set of shenanigans to implement a further extension. And the thing about this, without going into huge detail, is there's a very tiny amount of stuff from like 1923 and a little bit afterwards that makes a ton of money for companies like Disney and you know, Gone
2%.
With the Wind, stuff with like that.
2%.
Most of the content from those days, totally out of print, not making anybody any money. and no one would mind if it were in the public domain. So the laws, unfortunately, are protecting that vastly tiny sum. Meanwhile, millions and millions of items that we, of course, and everyone else would love to give away are basically locked up. So we're anticipating this is going to happen in 2019, behind closed doors, faster than you could believe it, unless we start lining up the the Counter-Strike and have the growth of the public domain to be a major effort. We're working with like Brewster Kahle of Internet Archive and some other folks to try to make this a real initiative. So if people have ideas about that, send us a note, get in touch, talk to us. We think it's the fact is it was sneaky last time, and we think maybe it's our turn to be a little sneaky and do something preemptive.
Yeah.
All right. I was wondering, should I try to get the mic?
For them. I don't know.
Stand there. They'll turn it up.
I was just wondering if, with all this proliferation of e-books, how are we going to find this? Like a
needle in a haystack. How are we going to find the particular book we want? I was having trouble finding a book but just the other night and Googling, and I could never get there from here. So I was wondering if you could address that, please.
You know, Project Gutenberg has several different search engines built in at Gutenberg.org, and I use them half the time, and I just put Google with a Project Gutenberg in quotes around it, and because I have Google as one of my instant drop-downs, and I don't have Gutenberg as, well, actually I do, but Google's always on, and Gutenberg isn't, even though I do Gutenberg. But I just type Project Gutenberg or Internet Archive or whichever I think has the collection, and then I say, boop, whatever, author, title, just keywords or whatever. And now, I have to admit, I took courses in search engines. So, but if you learn the and the ors and the nots and keep these words out and stuff like that, I don't have any trouble with it.
We have an advanced search page.
I'll do it for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to find this book.
Our advanced search page will let you do, unfortunately we don't have subject cataloging for everything, but when there's subject, you can search by subject, author, title, and language, stuff like that, format, because we have different file formats and different things like that. So we try, but bottom line is, Gutenberg is really more about the creation and distribution of the books. We're not trying to solve the search problems, in an innovative way. Hopefully there's other people that are working on that part. We make this stuff available.
I wrote hundreds of apologies before we ever got to 10,000 books, saying, I'm not a cataloger, and while it looks easy now, you're going to shoot me later, because I didn't know how to list these so you could find them. But I'm not a cataloger. Okay, go ahead.
Alternatively, as long as the metadata is open, if you're talking about browsing so many books, not just finding a particular book, recommendation engines work ridiculously well nowadays. So
they do.
As long as you have the metadata out there, people will build their own sites around it saying, hey, read this book or read that book. There's a couple that are out there already, but they don't differentiate between freely available or not. So maybe
right.
If you let them know.
If you do one of those searches like I do, would put Project Gutenberg and Hamlet, you'll still get 10,000 hits. You'll find it. No matter how many gateways are down, you'll find it. And, of course, you can do a diff on it and find out if somebody changed one comma to a semicolon or anything like that. Okay. Now, I did this little chart so we could talk about copyright. Current copyright that we have is 95 years. And so I broke it down into 9.5-year increments, which is 10 increments. Now, I don't know, you guys all know Newby from this conference, but you may not know that he is a PhD in library and information science and knows all this stuff, that we are doubling the amount of information we have way faster than 9.5 years. There's Peter Lyman at Berkeley says we're doing it in less than 2 years. I'm being very conservative to use the number 9.5. It also just happens to twiddle very nicely with 95. Now, 10 doublings, for those of you who know how to do that, is 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 5, 12, 10, 24. You notice I didn't look. That means if you made a deal with the devil right now who said, I want a new copyright law that's 95 years, and in return, I will put everything in the public domain right now. You don't want to take that deal. Because in 95 years, only one book out of 1,024 will be in the public domain. Now, of course, those of you who've been paying attention know we already made that deal, and we're screwed way worse than that. And they're going to make it longer than 95 years. The basic idea is that copyright is now permanent in the United States. Nothing's ever going to expire. And you can look up a Supreme Court case called Eldred versus Ashcroft, which at one time was Hart versus Reno. We don't know anybody named Hart, and I'll deny it if you say that it was me. Okay, so this is how fast the public domain disappears under our current law. You take a 5-year-old kid to The Lion King when it came out, and Lion King has a 95-year copyright. That kid, under this law, if it's never extended, never renewed, has to be 100 years old before they can republish something out of The Lion King. I, myself, was forced to go see Gone with the Wind and Song of the South when I was in grade school, because back in those days, we studied something called slavery. They don't study that anymore. But we had big sections in school about slavery, and these were the two big movies that depicted slavery, and we were forced to go watch them. And I would love, and I wanted to then. Then I'm planning on, oh, when that copyright expires, I want to write articles on what I just saw and use pieces of these things back and forth. And at those days, that was all going to expire in 56 years, 28 years if it wasn't renewed. And again, Newby can back this up. Of all of the books that were ever copyrighted, 92% of them were never renewed. Now, one of the most recent things that happened in the copyright extension before this one was that they made renewal automatic.
1976.
1973, actually.
Okay.
1976 was the extension, but they actually did it before. I thought it was in the same one, too. Close enough. Close enough for military work. But, yeah, they made it, even though nobody ever renewed, and it was this silly little form with a nominal fee, you just send it in with your $20 or whatever, and you've got 28 more years of getting $1 million off of Gone with the Wind. The trouble with that is that now we don't get any of it. They don't just want to make another couple percent. As he brought up, only a very small fraction of any of this stuff is making any money after 95 years, or 75 years, or 28 years. The average copyright is out of print in 5. Any librarian can tell you that if a book gets stolen, it's more than 5 years old, the odds are less than 50-50, they can get a replacement. It's gone. Got to go hunt through the used piles.
And yet it's copyrighted.
And it's copyrighted.
So we can't digitize it.
And it's going to be copyrighted. Their goal for this is not just to make 2% more off of Gone with the Wind. Some of it's censorship, because as you may well know, you can't go out and buy Disney's Song of the South. So I can't even go buy one and show it to my friends, unless I go to Australia. Okay? So, and I don't have time to go into the whole history of copyright, but one of the biggest parts of copyright has been censorship. That's why it was invented in the first place. Read the Statute of Anne. Anne was a very weak queen at the end of the whole thing that went from Henry IV all the way up through Henry VIII and the interregnum and Cromwell and Elizabeth and all that stuff and Mary Queen of Scots and the King James. King James? Bible, right, that guy. Son of Mary Queen of Scots. Huge upheavals. None of them would okay the copyright law. They all knew this was a bad thing. But the stationers and scribes kept lobbying year after year after year after year for 250 years. And they finally got Queen Anne, who just really didn't belong there anyway. And the guys convinced her, oh, they're writing pamphlets bad-mouthing you, and they're going to take over and have a revolution. You got to stop them. So overnight, the number of books in print in Britain went from 6,000 to 600. And it's been that way ever since. Now, I can't really go in. We don't have time. What time is it? How many?
We want to allow time for questions. We got as max 25 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. 20.
Yeah.
I don't know what time it is anymore.
The history of copyright is great stuff. And the history, in a nutshell, is that there are people that own the content that have a vested interest in maintaining perpetual monopoly over that content. And yet, we don't argue with that all that much. What we want to say is, what about all the content that no one has a vested interest in? Can't that be in the public domain, which means available to everybody for any purpose? And there's a whole set of reasoning behind that, that this is basically a product of culture, and eventually it should go back to the culture that owned it. And the funny thing is, read the U.S. Constitution. It's right there. You know, it says for a temporary time, we're going to give a monopoly, limited time, we're going to give a monopoly to the content producers temporarily. That's a copyright.
The Supreme Court has now ruled that limited means permanent.
Any number you might choose.
Take it?
Any number you might choose is still limited.
Congress can make it any length they want as per that court decision, Eldred versus Ashcroft. Which is why I made him take my name off of it, by the way, because I knew we were losing. And you don't want to go into that, but I'll tell you via email. I mean, they went in losing 5-4, and they lost 7-2, and that's why Larry Lessig doesn't do copyright law anymore. Long story short. Oh, we're going backwards now. I clicked all the way to you.
I apologize. I don't know if you could. I cannot see the array of slides before me like I usually can, so I have to work on this time.
Good. All right. But now, people are always asking me, what's next? This is my what's next, a billion book library. Now, as any good library and information scientist can tell you, there are about 25 million books in the public domain. If we do 40% of them, and I think we already have, that's 10 million. Now, as any good linguist can tell you, there are 250 languages with over 1 million speakers. If we do 40% of those, we get 100 languages. If you take 10 million books and put them into 100 languages, you get a billion books. Now, this is going to happen. It's not a question of whether it's going to happen or not, it's just when. Now, I have made several movements to try to get all the translators together to do something like this, but of course, they all want to get paid for it, and I want them to do it for free, so we are knocking heads there. But here are several handfuls of ways that you can create a billion books. You could just do 4 million books and get all 250 languages. Bingo. All right? We just need volunteers in all these languages. I want free books. I can read that language. I can type in this language. Boom. And there's also machine translation. Personally, I think that machine translation is one of the really next big things. Now, I'll grant you that sometimes it still comes out. I don't know how many of you remember the original machine translation thing where you translated from English to Russian and back, and you started out with the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and you came back with the vodka is strong, but the meat is rotten. It makes sense. Spirits are alcohol, right? And flesh is meat. Right? The flesh is meat. Flesh. If you know enough languages, and sadly I do, it just makes perfectly good sense. And the computer says, I can do that. And spirit is strong, and the vodka is rotten. Whatever. But it's getting better and better, and I don't know how many people of you do this, but I constantly cut and paste little things from different languages or vice versa. People will call me up and say, I got this quotation in this language. Can you give it to me in that language? And I'll putter around with it until I figure out what to do with it. You know, get it. I love doing that. It's a lot of fun. All right. We did that. That's one of my mottos there. I'm part Mongolian, for those of you who didn't know, and that's one of my ancestors. All right, keep going.
We're just going backwards here.
We're going backwards. How you can help. Nobody ever emails me anyway to help anyway, so I don't know why.
Email me.
Keep going. Faster. I don't think we need it. I think we can do this off of our head. Plus, I know there's going to be more questions we have time for. I know we got a couple people back here who were making fidgety things like they wanted to hear about something. And you still want to hear something else about copyright, I can tell.
No, I'm satisfied.
Oh, you gotcha.
Yes, you did.
Wow. All right. One satisfied customer. Yes.
Different versions of the Bible, Quran, stuff like that.
Flip around until you get to Dan Brown.
And the Torah. I mean, there are a lot of publishers. I'm not saying that they're all different. But with the Christian Bible, yes. But the Quran, no, and the Torah, no.
Keep going. There you go.
How do you do something to, you know,
well,
keep a copy of that?
We do them all. We do them all. Every one that somebody can find that we can get somebody to do. Dan Brown, this was the biggest seller for 5 years, outsold the Harry Potter guys. And he wrote this very cute little note to us that said, "For their generous assistance in the research of this book, I would like to acknowledge the Louvre Museum, the French Ministry of Culture, Project Gutenberg, the Bibliothèque Nationale, the Gnostic Society Library, Department of Paintings, and blah, 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 blah." Why? Because we had more Bibles that he could look up stuff in just like that than anybody on the planet. And we keep putting in more. There was a guy right behind you who was...
Yeah, the main thing there is, just to clarify, is we don't try to have the authoritative, best, single, scholarly, definitive, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, if we get that, great, but we'll take other editions as well, so that's why we have, you know...
Are the versions that you take, are they like
from
the 1700s
or something? Oh, yeah. The Douay Rheims Bible, and then there's Project Wittenberg, too, you might want to consult, who just does that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was a good question, actually, about the older editions, because that comes up a lot. And if you look at the something called Copyright How-To, we have something about renewals, and we also have something about reprints. And the basic thing is, and we are, I personally at least, am not that happy with companies like Barnes & Noble that take, for example, Jane Austen and put a new cover on it and put copyright in the front of the book and then sell it for $12. We give that one away, of course, right? Why? Because it's in the public domain. Do they have to say in the front of the book that's in the public domain? They do not. Do you know when you buy it that it's in the public domain? You do not. So there are a lot of editions of older stuff which have been reprinted, and the only thing that's eligible for a new copyright is something that's essentially a new act of authorship, right? Copyright is a result of authorship. It's not a result of packaging something up, not a result of typing it in. We have this no sweat of the brow how-to, all those people that are claiming that they marked up a book and therefore the book is no longer in the public domain. It doesn't work that way. So,
if any of you know lawyers or are lawyers who want to help me sue these guys, I personally think that this is misuse of copyright. Nobody ever sues anybody for misuse of copyright. But when I'm an older, crankier fart than I am now, and I'm useless for anything else, I want to go to court and nail these guys who put this cover on and say, all rights reserved. Mm-hmm. All right? I personally think that's misuse of copyright. Yes?
If you're an operational site, or maybe a geek, and I don't know anybody who's a geek, there's a lot of information that you want that's not going to be in a so-called book. It might be in a white paper.
Oh, we do stuff that isn't books.
So there is a service out there called ScriptD, which I used to find very useful.
ScriptD?
Yeah, it's where people can upload product manuals or white papers or things like that. You can do searches, you can find it in there, you can download them, and it was very useful. They seem to be going commercial now, and now, last time I tried to use them, they forced me to sign up for a Facebook account.
Oh, we saw this, actually. So ScriptD is a service where you can upload things that are hopefully in the public domain, or at least not things that are in print, and make them available. I think it's interesting because charging access for something that they didn't own in the first place is that sounds a little questionable. We of course have people that want to charge $3 to make a copy of our DVD and mail it anywhere in the world, and that's one thing, but having a for fee subscription service is a problem. Well, Project Gutenberg, we try to be activists, but we also try to do the main focus is on this literary historic works. But between us and some of our partners, we're always happy to take a collection of anything and post it and make it available, and just say, here's a site that got harvested. As far as we know, there's nothing wrong with making this available, and here it is.
If you'd be kind enough to send me an email, mm-hmm. I'd love to talk to these guys and see what we can do.
Yeah, sometimes they just don't understand. I mean, there's a lot of misinformation about copyright, and some people think that it is an act of authorship if you wrap some HTML around a book and that makes it no longer public domain, or you reset it, in a new typeface or something like that. But it's just not, and we have a whole little FAQ on this, and we're totally authoritative on this. We got a very, very detailed legal review in the U.S. The different countries have different laws. And so sometimes there's an education process, and that actually can be all it takes, but I don't know with these particular guys, we can certainly try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to the mic is good. It's hard to repeat the questions in no detail.
So I don't know if anyone else here has tried reading the books on a laptop or something, but it's not easy. I mean, it sort of starts to hurt my eyes after a while. And I've noticed one of the things about real books is I mean, it's a physical thing. The light's different. And I think some of the e-readers have tried to solve this, like the Kindle and whatever the one Sony has. But they're also not open, and you can't necessarily put one of Project Gutenberg's PDFs onto it.
Sometimes you can. Often you can, but it's your challenge. It's definitely a challenge, and we, you know, so we don't mind people printing, right? I mean, if you want to print, you can always print, and getting a nice printout might take a little bit of effort from like plain text, but from the HTML, it's a cinch.
So I was wondering what your recommendations for this were.
Try other formats. Try other screen refresh rates. Try different colors. Try different contrasts. Try different fonts. Try different margins. Send me a note. I've written about this. You just haven't done your homework, is my explanation.
Well, the devices are limiting.
There are
the devices
billion
can be
different
limiting.
Ways to put a book on a screen. Mm-hmm. You haven't tried half of them. And you'll find. And by the way, may I?
Yeah. What? Oh, phone?
No.
Oh.
There are
show
some
the iPhone.
Really cute little things you can do. I guess when it's wired up this way, you can't do it because we're tied to this. Oh, there we go. If you want to read that way, all right, all I did was Control, Alt, and Arrow, all right? You can, whichever way you want to read it. So if you want to hold it this way, just send me an email. I will help you figure out so many different ways to read an ebook. It'll make your head spin.
We actually worked with Apple a little bit to help them to free their devices, and I think that the market forces with these different devices, you know, like say the Sony e-reader, the Kindle, and so forth, and the mobile devices, 5 billion that we mentioned, that people are reading their books on all around the world. Not as much in the U.S. where we have laptops and ubiquitous wireless, but other places you see a lot more of the cell phone use. These will improve. You know, market forces will have some competition. And so what we end up with is some really great readers, like some of the apps on the iPhone, that have all these features and can read PDF and display reasonable text and display reasonable HTML. And they don't enforce DRM if there's no, you know, reason to have DRM. They don't have DRM sort of by default, you know, digital rights management, where they lock off what you can do. So I think it's screens will still be screens and paper will still be paper, but I think at least the ability to do different sizes, fonts, colors, orientation. Also, the look and feel on the Kindle, which is the e-ink look and feel, eventually we'll have on something like paper, but it'll probably be more like plastic. But I mean, we'll have things that are like paper that are also a computer display. So try to be patient.
If you notice, my own computer is defaulted white on black, because you can read hours longer, because the flicker doesn't bother you nearly as much. Try all these various colors. If you're dyslexic, too, by the way, various shades of green and blue for the letters is supposed to be amazing if you're dyslexic. Yes.
I'm particularly interested in your thoughts on complacent consumer zombies. Consumer zombies, you know, you're talking about how...
Do you buy Coke?
We're all becoming kind of passive consumers. What are your thoughts on how do we activate ourselves and our culture? How do we reboot it too?
Send me an ebook. That's how to be an active consumer. No, even just send us requests. I keep whole lists of stuff. And when we get a really big, you know, send me a note saying, hey, I'd like to type in a page or proofread a page or have you thought about this? It's really easy to be active with somebody like me around. You just send me a note and I'll try to find 50 people to help you do whatever it is you want to do.
What is your email address?
Hart, H-A-R-T, at P-G-L-A-F, Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, .org. And it's in all of these discs, and if you get one of our books, my email address is in on most of them.
Gutenberg.org, we have a contact us page.
And I bet this weirdo is enough, ... I'll get the email.
I'm sorry, I may have missed, I got in a little late, but is there any work going on tying these books into either Dewey Decimal or Library of Congress cataloging?
We do LCSH, but we don't have, because there's a human in the loop to do this, because we can't do copy cataloging because so many of our editions are older, so we can't do it automated. And our cataloger sort of retired, so we don't have quite as much. We'll probably have about half of it with LCSH catalog codes. We also have an XML RDF file if you want to import the entire everything, you know, author, title, subject. And for that, we use Dublin Core metadata. Format.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So we're pretty well good with the standard, but the human effort side of doing the cataloging, we're not nearly 100% at.
I was wondering if there was any motion to go direct publishing to e-text format, like, say, magazines being replaced by EPUBs, files transmitted by the internet? Is anything going, like, going on in that department?
A whole lot, yeah. We, you know, with Gutenberg, one thing, I mean, so we're so happy that suddenly this ebook idea, which Michael had, right, inventor of the ebook, 1971, right here. So Michael, you know, had this thought, which didn't quite predate the ARPANET, but it sure predated the internet and you know, Google and Yahoo and Windows 95 and Mosaic you know, even the FTP standard wasn't standard then. We weren't using on TCP/IP, right? So predated all this stuff. And in the last 3-4 years, we've had a huge pile of different ebook readers, companies, digital publishing, all that stuff. And so this is a, you know, a future that's really coming along pretty pretty nicely. So I think we're I don't know if that answers the question actually, but I mean, I think we're essentially encouraging of all that stuff, and we believe that there's room for all kinds of cooks in the kitchen, all kinds of different efforts. We got nothing against commercialization, nothing against self-publishing, stuff like that. On the main Gutenberg.org site, we're mostly focused on the older literature, is bottom line there. But we're not trying to limit ourselves. It's just that we know that for self-publishing, for example, like, you know, Lulu Press and places like that can do it a little better than we probably
can. But I'll send it to other, if you send it to me, yeah. I'll send it to somebody else.
Totally encouraging, but it's not quite what we necessarily do, you know, in a hands-on way.
I want to address what this guy said here about us becoming passive consumer zombies.
But a question, because we don't have, you know.
Do you remember when Eisenhower talked about the military-industrial complex?
Military-industrial-congressional complex was what he said. They censored him.
Well, what we've got now is the corporate government congressional complex.
Absolutely.
And we're being made passive consumer zombies by design.
Yes.
And legislation. We're not simply becoming that passively.
Yep. One comment I meant to get in before when somebody was talking about people who bought up copyrights and made money when they were extended. Ted Turner bought, you know, Ted Turner, TNT, Turner, yeah, bought up the MGM movie library when all the copyrights were supposed to be expiring pretty soon. That's how he got a hold of Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz and all that stuff. He bought thousands and thousands of movies that were supposed to be pretty worthless. And then, of course, in 1776... they extended it for 19 years, and in 1998, they extended it for 20 years. Think of how many billions of dollars he's made extra because of that. And then, I don't know how many you keep track, but he donated $1 billion in cash back to, and it sounds a little funny, but he gave it to WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization, through the United Nations. It's a little bit hard trail to find, but like they got paid back for doing it. The World Public, the World International, World Intellectual Property Association writes most of the copyright laws in the world, just like the stationers used to. Okay.
So I was wondering about a comment you made in the beginning about, it seemed to say data storage is growing faster than Moore's Law, aka faster than processing capability is growing, and what you would say about the implications of the amount of data we have is growing faster than anything can read that data.
Yeah, it's growth of content was the, in other words, there's the content is doubling faster because we have so many more generators of content, so that the quantity of content available is moving forward faster than the density of transistors on a chip.
I just say, put it all in your computer, let it run for a week, and build an inverted index of the whole collection, and it's right there at your fingertips. And you just do that every so often. And actually, I'll give you one warning. It's easier to do that with several different collections than one large collection. It's one of those things that's logarithmically inefficient. So you start adding in. It takes longer instead of just longer. So I would tell you to make one collection of your 100,000 favorite this kind of books and your 100 favorite that kind, blah, blah, blah. Email me. I'll help you.
Favorite software for that?
Okay.
Is there a favorite software for that, sir?
Favorite software for indexing?
No. I don't like to recommend stuff. Any particular brands of anything, I just read it. 5 minutes.
I'd like to mention three things and get your response. First of all, the federal government agencies have increasingly been putting copyright notices on their published works as well as on their websites, and it's not hard to find. If they're contracted, they're allowed to, but they're doing it on things that are not contracted in ways that seem improper.
I think there's ignorant people in the government, too, so it's not always malice, yeah. But it's certainly improper.
If you follow it far enough, you usually find that there was a contractor in there, and that's why they did it.
What I was saying was...
I had the same argument you did.
There's ways of finding it very easily by using Google searches and so on. Okay. The second is Orphan Works. There's a lot of stuff. Nobody knows who owns it. No, there's a lot of things that are...
We're going on that like crazy.
And print to paper. If I see 10 Gutenberg works and I want to read them in print, I don't like reading them on a screen. I can't read them on a screen very easily.
There should be
buttons to send them somewhere for a nominal fee, and somebody should set up that business.
Now, that's not a bad idea. We're actually a little limited with iBiblio, but we could always set up a satellite site that would do that and link to that. iBiblio, which is our main hosting, can't do commercial stuff at all, really.
Thank you.
That's not a bad idea. If you have an idea for a mechanism or a recommendation or someone to hook us up with, we would encourage that.
Kiosks there are places at post offices, maybe, or something.
No. Yeah. What is Good it idea. You want them to do?
Kiosks at post offices. I want some place where you can send these electronic books and print them out into...
Oh, there's a zillion PODs.
Yeah, print on demand.
I mean, they're following
it's just not direct from our catalog, that's all. So you get 10 different formats, and one of those could be send this to like Lulu or something, and they'll send you a printed book back. Great idea. Yeah. Love to make it happen.
Two more questions, and we're out of here.
Dovetailing on that comment, I really like Project Gutenberg, but I've never used it before because none of your material is typeset.
That's for you to do. You don't understand your computer. You can put it any way you want. And we're not going to do it for you.
I miss that word. They don't what?
Typesetting has to be done for you, or it's a tremendous amount of work.
No, I totally disagree. Next!
That's very funny.
Okay. Out! Get him out of here!
I have two quick questions.
Thank you.
So it would be nice if you had like an option for locked-up typeset work or something like that that's professionally done? Or
to get that in place. It's incredibly challenging. Contact me and we can work on it. It's more challenging than you would think, but we've worked on that for a while, especially with TEI Lite.
That's good to hear. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too quick.
It's not that we don't want to do it.
Do you have any more of those discs left? Because I'd like one, please. And I know you said you don't recommend products and programs, et cetera, but do you have a feeling about which are the better of the book readers, the Nook, the Kindle?
We don't do that. I already said that.
Oops.
That's it.
Actually, well, Michael is just...
Please be careful.
All the e-book readers suck. Some suck less than others, and we anticipate that over time some will suck less. They all have real limitations. We've used them all. I think we're about at the end of our time, right, Michael? Any final words? All right, thanks everyone. This is an 8-gig ISO. You can download it, gutenberg.org/CD project, and this site has pretty good bandwidth, so you might even be able to get a copy while you're here.
Microphone man, coming at your microphone.
Thanks everyone. My understanding is keynote overflow will be here, we think. So you can stay here if you want to watch the keynote.